So the birthday effect. What do you think it is? Obviously, something is more likely to happen on your birthday.
Okay.
The birthday effect.
Is that it? Okay.
Okay.
So do you, so you should pretend it's your birthday and something good will happen to you?
Well, no, it's not necessarily something good.
Oh.
Something's more likely to happen. Good or bad is yet to be determined. So do you want to take a stab at what I'm talking about?
No, you've got me all confused on a Tuesday. Okay. just tell me what the birthday effect is.
I don't want to wish anyone a happy birthday today, but statistically, we're all more likely, all of us, are more likely to die on our birthdays.
What?
Than on a normal day.
Well, they say that William Shakespeare was born and died on the same day.
Interesting.
You know?
Wait, really?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. His birthday is also his death day.
Well, this is entirely a man-made effect, though.
But that doesn't make any sense.
No, it's within our control.
Well, I personally know no one that has died on their birthday.
That's
do
good.
You?
No.
Okay. Well, then explain how this is supposed to be so common.
But it's also within our control. So keep that in mind.
Okay.
Okay. Because according to The Guardian magazine, it turns out we like to celebrate on our birthdays. Okay.
And yeah, that you increases. Usually don't just do nothing on your birthday. That's right. Even
right,
if it's
right,
whatever
right,
it
right.
is, you're usually out at one yeah. point. Yeah. Yes.
So to everything in life, there's a positive and a negative. You can go out and celebrate and have a lot of drinks, which is what's generally involved.
Right.
But that kind of activity can statistically lead to more chances of, you know, like driving drunk or heart attacks or whatever.
Or,
so I'm just saying
yeah,
your chances
okay.
are higher on your birthday. The Guardian did a full study on it. And one study in 2015 said about 7% more likely. Another in 2012 had it about 20% more likely. So there's some wiggle room in there.
Tim, that's very
but just take,
morbid.
You know, well, I'm just saying, just watch, pace yourself would be the point, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I guess statistically also you'd be more likely to get just in any sort of accident.
Correct.
Like an injury could happen. Maybe
right.
not resulting in death.
Right.
But just an actual incident because you're out in public, you're doing things, you're, like you said, you might, if you're over the age of 18, you might be intoxicated.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, it was trending and it was in The Guardian, so I thought it worth mentioning.
Okay. You know, so, like, in other words, stay home on your birthday. Don't
basically,
do anything.
Basically, yeah. Just to stay home and take it easy. If you want to have a glass of wine with dinner and a nice, you know, nice nightcap and go to bed at 8:30, that probably would be better.
Okay.
Okay. It's just, and it's good for your heart because one glass of wine a day is good for your heart.
Tim's the fun police here.
It's just,
you're the birthday fun police.
Reporting what I saw the trending topics. The USDA, final just random fact here, has a lot of cheese stashed in caves in Missouri. Okay.
What?
Now I would have thought Wisconsin because Wisconsin seems like the cheese state, but no, it's in Missouri. Now it's 1.5 billion pounds of cheese that they have stored away. Process started about 75 years ago. Why do you think originally you would want to store that much cheese?
Maybe there's going to be like a world cheese shortage and they want to be prepared.
Well, it was the same mentality as hoarding a lot of gold. They wanted to be able to stabilize and control cheese prices, dairy prices around the planet. So that's why.
Who does this again?
It was the U.S. government, USDA.
Really?
Yes, the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
I had a criminology professor in university that said that he doesn't eat cheese when he goes to Montreal because it's run by the mafia there.
The cheese industry.
So he said he boycotts it. And I'm like, you think it just stays in Montreal? I'm pretty sure that cheese is getting shipped.
Everywhere.
All over.
Probably the USDA.
So what do you do? Just ban all cheese?
Right, I know.
You know?
Probably some of this government Missouri cheese comes from the Montreal stash.
Exactly.
Somehow. You know, especially
they're all in on it. The cheese conspiracy. Cheesepiracy.
Cheese-ageddon 2024. Here's a list from a Reddit thread of passive-aggressive ways of being offensive. Things that don't really sound like an insult until you just think about it for half a second.
Like, you look great for your age. Like, why don't you just end with, you look great?
Exactly.
Why is the age thing have to be thrown in there? So if I was younger, I wouldn't look great?
Right.
Yeah, I hate that.
They have a top 10 list here, and I can let's see how many you can relate to. There's this one I relate to the most. I just have heard it the most.
What's that?
I don't know what it says about me. Now that I'm thinking about it, but the one that says, I admire your enthusiasm. It's always said in the context of, but there's not a chance in hell we're going to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's kind of like nice try.
Right.
Better luck next time. Yeah.
Maybe it's just the industry we're in. We hear that sometimes.
Because
we have ideas and we want to do things.
Oh, we've got ideas.
Always want to do stuff.
Almost too many.
Everybody's like, we admire your enthusiasm, but no.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's impossible to underestimate you is one that comes up here.
So in other words, nothing surprises me about you.
Right, right. Yeah. You continue to shock in the worst of ways would be the context, I imagine. I admire how you don't let your limitations affect your confidence.
Ooh. Wow. Wow. I don't think that's passive aggressive. Wow. That's a straight up insult. If someone said that to me, I'd be like, excuse me?
Yeah, but Wait, hold on a second. If you were sitting with someone, like a counselor of some sort, they would say, why would you automatically take that negatively? Maybe they could be complimenting you genuinely. I admire how you don't let your limitations affect your confidence. You know?
Yeah, but they're basically telling you that you have limitations where the sky's the limits.
But don't we all have limitations?
No, let's break those ceilings, Tim.
Okay, all right. I'm playing devil's advocate to see if this could
be
genuine.
Yeah, I guess. You know what? And again, we've always said this. In texts, those would all be passive aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
But it's inflection and tone.
It's everything.
And meaning behind words that really
nonverbal cues.
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, all of those could be compliments if said in the right way.
Right.
Or not.
Or completely the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how miscommunication happens and people break up over text.
Oh, yeah. Some people don't even go on the first date because they feel insulted by the conversation planning the date.
I know.
You're like, they were planning a date with you. I don't think they were trying to insult you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always best to have in-person conversations. With anything beyond,
or at least over the phone.
With anything beyond what time are we meeting and where. You know, beyond that, just, maybe over the phone. That sounds like something you'd say is another one. Or what an odd thing to say aloud.
Okay, yeah, that's
more direct, too.
That's a pretty direct, maybe that was inappropriate.
Right.
Another way of saying that, I suppose.
What's an odd thing? I don't think there's any other way to take that one. That's not really so passive aggressive. But what an odd thing to say
aloud. Maybe something you could say to, like, a kid that says something that just didn't have a, you know, like, children don't really have a filter because they're not.
That's true.
You know, like, I remember working at Chuck E. Cheese once, and, like, this little kid's like, and I mean, the kid was like 3. Look, Mom, that man has no hair. He's bald. You know, and she just, like, pointed at him, and she's like, that's right, but we usually don't. And I heard the mom, like, she just beat red, right? She's like, that's right, but we usually don't point that stuff out or say it out loud. We can think it, though, right. Or something like so. And I remember, how fun it is to be 3. You can just say whatever you're thinking.
I like a parent that can have a sense of humor about it, though, because you know the mother probably did.
She was probably mortified, right? Yeah. Because it's like, you know, she's just like, oh, boy. Because, you know, she was like, sorry. And he's like, oh, I don't mind. It's not like I don't know I'm bald. You know, like it was just a whole funny interaction. Meanwhile, I'm behind the price counter going, and what yo-yo did you want? Trying not to laugh at everything.
Oh, now you were just talking about this, Terry. An example of how you say it. This is the perfect one on the list for that.
What's
it's
that?
It's all in how you say it. It could be either, oh, now I see what everyone's talking about. Or, oh, now I see what everyone's talking about.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, or here's another one. Oh, we were just talking about you.
Yeah,
as
right.
In your room. Excuse me, what?
Yeah, there's no good way out of that one.
Well, no, unless they follow it up with something really positive. But if they just say that,
then
they go back to their desk and you hear like typing, you're like, well, did you want to expand on that one?
Right, or? I know. I seem to have heard that a lot in the office. That's a fun trick people like to play on each other around here, isn't it? And then finally, you never want to hear this one. I don't think there's a good context for this one either. You are all mouth but no trousers.
Ooh. No, that's not nice at all.
That's literally.
Because there's no substance to anything you say.
Well, that's not what I was thinking.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, you're all mouth but no trousers. There's a number
you don't have legs for what you can talk the talk, but you don't walk the walk, basically.
Well, a number of different scenarios as well. Take it for what it is, but anyway.
I thought of one more. Oh, we bug Mark about this all the time.
What's that?
Mark, you've had a good run. Because that's usually followed up by some sort of, here's an empty box.
Right, exactly. So here's how AI is going to take our job in music curation. Please tell us.
Everybody's talking about this new Spotify feature.
Right.
It's called AI Playlist Generator.
Uh-huh.
So if you use Spotify, all you have to do is go into your library, tap the plus button on the top right of the page, and select AI Playlist option.
Although it appears that it has to be the paid service, not the free service.
Right. Well, I mean,
just FYI.
The extra AI isn't cheap, Tim.
Radio's still free.
And then it says, what do you want? Duly noted. It says, what do you want to hear today? And then you give it a prompt. You give it a sentence. Like the example they used is music to read to on a cold, rainy day.
I like it. Yeah.
And then they'll go into your library. AI will go into your library and pick 30 songs, up to 30 songs that match that vibe.
Okay.
So if you said like...
baby making
Tim's
music.
Tim's got a brand, first date.
Right.
And wants
okay.
to...
not wants, baby making music
okay,
for that.
Okay, maybe not for the first date. Yeah. you can even just put something like, you know, breakup songs, whatever. But you can be as specific as possible. Like, people are having a lot of fun with it. They're writing things like music to fight a zombie apocalypse. Or,
nice.
You know.
Do you have song selections from that or a sample?
Someone
list?
Said, make me feel like a vampire hunter from Blade, the
right.
1998 movie. Talk yep. about specific. And the person said it was like they read their mind. They said they couldn't believe the...
I wonder if you can
choices.
Input certain things, like if you have your first date's Instagram profile, for example, or if they have a Spotify account, you can share it with the list, and then it can curate a list for both of you.
Yeah.
It's probably a way to do all that, you know? That way you can get to know the person better or creep them out, one of the two.
So you have to have the premium subscription. You are correct.
Right.
Which starts at $5.99 a month for students and is $10.99 for individuals. But it's they're upping their game, I guess, Spotify is. So you can try this out if you're interested. It's called the AI playlist option. You just give it a prompt, like music to cook dinner to. It doesn't even matter. And it'll give you up to 30 songs that match that vibe. Apparently, scarily
accurate. Sure, if you don't mind another AI-generated algorithm listening to everything you do and watching all your playlists and just
they are anyways. They might as well pick my music.
I guess you're right, Terry. I'm just trying to justify why humans should still pick music, like, say, here on Z99. It's just so easy to get in your car and just turn on the radio. It's mindless. You don't have to think about anything. You don't even have to input a prompt. You just turn on your radio, and we're right
that's
here.
That's true. Actually, we are, and we're cheaper than AI, like you had mentioned earlier.
Trying to have hanging on by a thread here with these damn computers taking over everything. But Spotify. Okay. Well,
listen, you don't have to use the service, but I'm just throwing it out there.
No, in relation to the whole dating thing, I think it'd come in useful. Actually, it's
Tim's first date playlist.
Right.
Can't wait to hear what they choose.
I would like to see that, man.
This study I read from Custom Ink, which is a T-shirt printing company.
Yeah, I'm familiar with. I got a couple of their shirts.
I know that we both have opinions on this. So they asked the average American, do you think you can wear an artist's merch without knowing any of their songs? Mm. Not even like, you might be like, oh yeah, like a kind of like Olivia Rodrigo. I know like three songs. No, you don't know if you're wearing an Olivia Rodrigo song shirt, you know zero songs. Is that normal? 30% of Americans said yes.
Mm. Interesting. Well, that's a question. It's just open to difference of opinions, I think. You can legally do whatever you want. It's a free country.
Well, yeah, no one's going to arrest you.
Yeah, you can wear a T-shirt and it says whatever you want it to say, or you don't even know what it says. Now, it'd be dangerous to walk around with that kind of mentality regarding T-shirts because you could put on something that'd be quite detrimental to your health or your physical safety.
Right,
you know,
right, because maybe you're representing an artist you don't aligned with.
Or some people wear shirts in foreign languages and they don't even know what it says.
Yes.
You might want to check that out before you put on the shirt, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's good
so
advice.
So with that kind of thinking, I'm going to say if you are sporting a band T-shirt, I automatically assume that you're a fan of the band. I'm assuming that. So
yeah.
If I walk up to you and
I actually probably assume you've been to one of their concerts because that's where I always buy T-shirts too.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you have. I just assume that usually because that's where I buy my band T-shirts from.
No, I don't go that far. I just assume you would know the band's biggest song. So if you wore an AC/DC shirt and I walked up and said, what song?
You shook me all night long.
Yeah, you shook me all night long. You don't know the song. I'm going to be like, why are you wearing the shirt? That's their biggest song.
So 10% of people that responded to this survey said they own a shirt from an artist they've never listened to.
What? Wow.
Find that. Maybe if
you
get it as a gift.
Why would you buy the shirt?
Maybe they got it as a gift.
Okay.
They just said they own it. Now, other people disagreed. They say you need to know at least three songs from a band or an artist before you can wear their shirt.
Man, this is a tough question because I'm a music nerd and we're in the business where we're around music all the time. So I feel a little bit judgy about it. You know, I'm kind of like, I kind of feel like if you're wearing the shirt, say a Rolling Stone shirt, and you don't like any other music.
But what if you like the logo? What if you're this is just a cool logo? Like Pink Floyd, like you're like, oh, I love the prism and the rainbow coming out of the prism. I just want to buy the shirt.
Yeah, well, why not just buy a triangle shirt then? Why Pink Floyd?
Well,
because Pink Floyd's cool or trendy?
I don't know.
It's trendy. It's trendy, and you're bandwagon jumpers, which you are.
Yeah.
You're jumping onto the bandwagon with a trend when you're not really into what you're advertising. It's false advertising.
It is.
Not being authentic.
Couple more quick poll results from this. Do you know what the most popular music t-shirt in America, what artist it is?
Rolling Stones.
You would think. It's Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Wow.
Fairly new artist compared to someone like the Rolling Stones.
So we're talking about like over the past 12 months probably.
Well, yeah, I guess maybe from Custom Ink it was the most ordered, I'm assuming. The average person spends $400 on band shirts in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But metal fans spend the most, an average of $500.
Wow. Interesting.
And metal fans own the most band shirts with an average of 10.
Okay.
While the overall average is 6. Dude, you have way more band shirts than that.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
You probably have like 25.
It's all classic rock shirts, though. So some would be borderline metal. I can see that about metal fans. I would have said hip hop, too. They're probably up there somewhere.
I only own one band shirt right now.
Really? Who?
Yeah, Foo Fighters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I love that shirt. I wonder where that is. I got to dig that out again. It's
and you
classic.
Are, you are a fan as well.
Love the Foo Fighters. I mean, bigger fan of Nirvana, to be honest. But
yeah. Got a couple shirts from them.
But love Foo Fighters, and they're great in concert. And that's where I bought it, at a concert.
Well, I live up to what I'm preaching. I don't buy a shirt from anyone that I don't enjoy listening to.
So
if you
agree.
See me wearing the shirt, then that means I like the band.
Then we can talk about the music.
That's right. You walk up to me and have a deep conversation if you want. I'll remember stuff that I probably shouldn't remember. It's a waste of brain space. Got little the way it is, man. I got to conserve it. So, yeah. All right. Well, I think we've decided. Don't wear a band shirt unless you're a fan or expect to be asked about the music.
Well, yeah, because if we see you out, we're going to ask you a couple questions.
Yes. Correct.
We're going to test your band knowledge.
We're the band shirt police.
Yes.
Cemetery.